The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
The mechanical voice with the ironically American accent has gone silent today. This morning, the most famous theoretical scientist and physicist in the world has passed away, Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking is an icon, and in many ways, an inspiration to me. In many other ways, not so much. He was studying physics at Cambridge. He took his education so... It's such a meaningless bother that most of his papers were written the night before they were due. And he would throw away his extra draft and his notes, and his roommate pulled them out of the garbage to save them because he said they were miraculous. Stephen, what are you doing? He said, that's just garbage. He was a partier at college until he fell down the stairs. While at Cambridge, he had been tripping an awful lot, and one day he fell down the stairs, and as he was laying at the bottom of the stairs, he thought, something is wrong. He was diagnosed with ALS, which at the time, I believe, was called Lou Gehrig's disease. He was 22 years old. He was told that he would have no more than a couple of years to live. What ALS does is it just paralyzes the body slowly. He began to move or began to lose all of his motor skills. He was eventually confined to a wheelchair, and he fell into a deep depression. Thankfully, a professor in his life encouraged him not to let his disease define him. With newfound confidence, he dove back into his work in science and physics. He was able to see the world and see these physics equations in three dimensions in his imagination. Stephen Hawking is the prime example that all life is precious and has meaning. He is also a reminder about how great a time we live. If he would have lived 50 years ago, he would have spent his entire life with people talking to him like this. And how are we feeling today, Mr. Hawking? Would you like me to open up the window? Talking down to him like he was an imbecile. And in his head, trapped. Three-dimensional maps of space and black holes. Now, we know how Margaret Sanger and George Bernard Shaw would view Stephen Hawking. His life didn't have any meaning. His life wasn't worth anything. He had no quality of life. They would have said he was disabled and therefore a burden on society. They would have said, you know, before he goes through all of this pain, before he has to suffer, before he has to put his family through all of this, the doctors believe he has no quality of life and no future, and we should put him down. Isn't it amazing how that struggle is what made Stephen Hawking? Without ALS, he himself said, I don't know who I would have been. He didn't take his studies seriously until he knew he was running out of time. Until he knew, I've been given a gift of life and intelligence, and I've been wasting it. And he began to apply himself. The world is a better place because of Stephen Hawking, because he chose to live his life to the fullest despite his crippling disease. He leaves behind now a loving wife, three children, and a legacy unmatched by many, most, and perhaps only eclipsed by Einstein. Agree with him or not, Hawking challenged everything we know. He challenged every perception of the universe. What I like about Stephen Hawking is he said, I believe this is true. And later would come out and be the first to say, I was wrong. He challenged even the things that he fought so hard because he believed they were true. He fought everyone and said, no, prove that it's wrong. I'm telling you, this theory is right. And when somebody, or even him, proved that it was otherwise, he led the charge to say, mm-mm, we don't have that. We don't have that right. The most important thing that Stephen Hawking gave to the world is that no one can define your life by what you look like or what your abilities are. No one can define your life except you. You are the master of your own world and works.
It's Wednesday, March 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Really kind of, in some ways, bummed. Stephen Hawking, in some ways, played a big role in my coming of age, if you will, the beginning of my search. He was one of the first people that I started to read when I questioned with boldness even the very existence of God. He and Carl Sagan. And he is, in many ways, a true inspiration of what can be done if you just say, nope, I'm not going to let it beat me. Living life all the way to the end. So in some ways, it's a very sad day. In some ways, it's not. He was, if you had seen pictures of him recently, he was sliding downhill quickly. But man, you want to talk about a guy who fought and fought and fought and fought. Since the 1950s? Late 50s, early 60s. And I every time I think of Stephen Hawking, I think of, thank God for the voice box. Thank God for that device. Think of the torture that would have been for him. I remember my grandfather on my father's side. I was not close to him. And he scared the hell out of me. And he scared me for a couple of reasons, but the main reason was he had had a stroke and he was right side paralyzed. And so the first time he had a stroke, he would talk like this. And he would get confused in his language. And I remember being very small. And I remember sitting on the carpet in his living room and looking up at him, and he was trying to tell me something, and he couldn't form any of the words. This was after a second stroke. He couldn't form any of the words, and his eyes welled up, and tears started running down his cheeks, and I probably was six, and I remember thinking, he's trapped in there. I somehow or another, I knew I could tell that he knew what he wanted to say. He couldn't make his body work. And ever since that day, that's been one of my biggest fears, is being trapped with your mind well and your body trapped, and you can't let anyone know, I'm in here. And if it wasn't for technology, that's where Stephen Hawking would have been. Imagine that mind trapped. How many minds before have been trapped like that? How many minds today? How many people that we dismiss because of their communication abilities do we dismiss because they can't communicate it? My daughter has a really hard time with communication. She has, she has cerebral palsy. She had strokes at birth, and it's her nemesis. She can't communicate. She has a hard time choosing the right words and putting it together and And she's, you know, she always feels like she's just, no, I don't have it right. I don't have it right. This isn't, I don't know how to say it. So frustrating. So frustrating.
I mean, you think about now where we are, because it's not about just people who can't communicate. Now we're talking about people who can communicate. Can communicate well. People with Down syndrome, for example, that we've talked about this week, that can communicate fine. You know, they might not have every single thing going for them the exact same way. Some of their features are better, as we've discussed. They certainly seem happier than a lot of people. But these are people who can actually communicate, can talk back to you, can smile, can have fun, can laugh. And we're celebrating their elimination.
We have a guest on next hour, Nick Vujicic. We've had him on before, about what, 4 years ago. He's written a new book called Be the Hands and Feet. The ironic part about that is he has no hands and feet. He has he was born, I believe he was a thalidomide baby, I'm not sure. So he was born and he has kind of very small hands, but they're right at the shoulders, and feet right at the hips. And so he can't use them. And it's fascinating to watch him. I saw him give a speech where he kind of rolled out on stage, and he inchwormed his way over to the center of the stage and said, "So I don't have any hands and feet. What's your problem?" And you're kind of like, "Wow, wow! I don't think I have any. I don't think I have any at all."
The remote's way over there. That's my big one.
Yeah, yeah. I know that statue is really oppressing me right now, Nick. It's really, man. And how many people today, if you were within the sound of my voice, I want you to hear something. And I want you to just ponder this. You may be your biggest obstacle. You may be your biggest obstacle. You don't know how many people are actually rooting for you. You don't know how many people are praying for you. You don't know how many people think, "Oh, I wish he would just see who he really is." Because most of us miss who we really are. We get bogged down in our problems, and the truly great people figure that out and go, "Crap, it's me. It's not the rest of the world. It's actually me. Huh. I never saw that one coming. I thought I was a pretty great guy. I'm causing a lot of my problems." Is today the day that you've been given a second chance? Is today the day that you're supposed to say, "You know what? I don't care anymore. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care really what happens, because it can't get worse than this. I know who I am." I remember the day that I decided not to repeat my mother's ending of her life. My mother was an alcoholic and addicted to prescription drugs. Died when I was 15 years old. And I remember the day I realized I'm going to repeat my mom's life. And then I chose not to. And I was laying on the floor and I got up. And I went to bed. And I wish I could say that the next day was better, but I don't think it was. But I don't remember the next day. I don't remember what I did. I remember it in broad strokes, and I remember that it was hard. But that all becomes a blur. I remember the good things that happened. I remember the struggle, but I remember conquering it slowly. I remember figuring it out slowly. It's so bizarre that if you're a woman, you can understand this, that the greatest pain you may ever feel is having a baby. You're usually screaming at your husband, never touch me again. I mean, if he didn't get the epidural. But the minute you have the child, you're ready to have another one. I mean, maybe not ready to have another one right then, but you forget it immediately. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You just have to get up off the floor and say, "Why? What is it that's holding me back besides me? Because no statue in the town square is doing that. ALS ain't doing that because it didn't hold him back. What is holding me back? Grab onto life because, man, it is so worth not surviving, living." All right. Imagine taking your car on a 100-day test drive. Imagine moving into a new house for 100 days. I mean, it would still have the showroom stuff in it. You know, it'd still all be staged. You wouldn't have to move all your furniture and unpack all the boxes. But imagine living in a house or anything that, you know, you can't take for 100 days. Spending a third of the year someplace and going, no, it's not right. Well, you've never been able to do that with a mattress. But Casper is doing it because they know you're going to love it. But if you don't, no big deal. You're not out a single dime, and you're not out any. You don't have any hassle because they come and pick it up. But 100 nights, night after night, for you to sleep on a Casper mattress. Now they do this because, I mean, you're not going to be able to tell if you've ever purchased a mattress in a store and you really try. I'm going to really lay down for 10 minutes.
Glenn Beck.
All right. So Google and Elon Musk and everybody, they have a new partner. There's somebody lobbying now for the self-driving cars, for those laws to get passed so we can get these self-driving cars on the road.
Someone really encouraged by this new technology.
Yeah.
And I think it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The liquor industry. The liquor industry is now fully on board with self-driving cars.
Of course they are.
Now, of course, their interest is for the betterment of humanity.
Of course, it's safer.
It's safer. And first of all, no more drunk driving deaths.
No. And you can drink their product while in the car.
You could drink their product while in the car. Mm-hmm. It's going to save a lot of lives.
Well...
Now, it might end some other ones because people are more willing to drink more.
Right.
They think that it's going to boost alcohol sales by as much as $250 billion.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, I am an alcoholic, so you may have to temper this a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But after a long day's work, you wouldn't mind popping a beer or six?
Oh, believe
I'm just saying.
After a long day's work?
Yeah. Going to work.
In the middle of the day. No, it's interesting because we kind of have a real world experiment. This company, I think, in some ways has had a real world experiment in this.
We have?
Yes, because we currently do the show in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to do the show in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in Manhattan, it's basically you're in a world of self-driving cars. No one has a car.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're taking a cab everywhere. You're taking a subway everywhere. You're going home on the train.
Yes.
Okay. So it's much easier to drink. And I drank a lot more in New York than I drink here.
It may not be the self-driving car. It may be New York itself that encourages you to drink.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'd really be interested to hear from you if your child has come home and said, Mom and Dad, there's a big walkout and I want to participate. How you handled that? Or if you got a note from any of the schools, regarding today's walkout. There are thousands of kids. Now think of this. Think of the feat. There are thousands of kids who have just got out of those hallowed halls of learning.
Oh my gosh.
And walked out in the middle and said, I am not going to take this, I don't take this precious gift of education lightly, but today, yes, I must remove myself from this class for something more important.
It's incredible they can get kids
it's
to do
brave.
That. It's incredible.
It's brave.
Now look, if you're at Parkland High School, yes, you are in the middle of that situation enough that, this is all you're thinking about all the time, right? If you're in North Dakota walking out of school today, I mean,
sit
down. Let's be honest about it. I walked out of school several times back in the day, Glenn. Important protests, such as, give me one, just give me the one that jumps off the top priority.
What's
the scale you'd want to go with?
The biggest one or the one you remember? The one I remember the most. Yeah.
I guess there's so many that I wouldn't want to downplay one of the other ones that I'm not mentioning.
You did walk out though of school
many times. I walked out and kept walking until I got to McDonald's.
Really?
Which is a surprise to the audience.
Join the.
Oh, no, I care deeply about the cause.
Right.
Whatever it was. It didn't matter which one of the events I'm talking about, Glenn.
So am I the only one? Maybe it's just my age. Am I the only one that my parents would have said, what the hell were you doing?
Yeah, but see, everybody went. So it was easy because you had strength in numbers. And I can tell you, I had absolutely no idea what we were walking out of school for. And honestly, probably were things that I completely disagreed with. But I didn't care because I was out of school and I would have done anything to leave school at any time. That's what you do when you're in school. You try to leave school. If you can leave school without getting in trouble for leaving school, you leave school. That's what you do. Now,
no.
If they punish you, right? If they punish you for leaving school, well, then you might not leave school. Right. The reason why you don't skip school every single day is because you realize you'll get in trouble for it. It's not because you think you're going to learn something or miss out on learning. It's because you're going to get in trouble and you don't want to get in trouble. That's the only reason people go to school. This is breaking news to many people in the world,
no,
I suppose.
I think if I understand you correctly, you're saying kids don't want to go to school, nor do they appreciate it.
No.
Wow.
It's amazing commentary, right. I know.
But so you're saying then that these kids don't care, really. Some of them may.
Absolutely.
But a lot of them don't give a flying crap. Well, they're just getting out of school.
When you look at these issues, you'll find typically, as we've seen even in Parkland, there's a lot of kids that are pro Second Amendment that are coming out and saying, hey, it's important that we have to protect these rights. You know what that kid in North Dakota is doing that's pro-Second Amendment? Walking out of school. They're all walking out of school because you're telling them it's okay to leave school. That's why they're leaving school. Now, sure, there's some activists that are anti-gun and their parents are anti-gun, and then they're going to walk out and they're going to be anti-gun, at least for the day. And I'm not saying that there's not people who are really... You know, obviously, the closer you are to this, the more real it is.
So let me go to Florida. Kim in Florida, your eighth grade.
Hi, good morning, Glenn.
How are you?
Your
eighth grade student is involved.
Their school is doing what's called a walk-in, so they're not leaving campus. They're not allowed to leave campus. They're going into the courtyard. They're going to have 17 minutes of silence, and then the chorus will be singing. My son will be singing because he's in chorus, and it's in memory of the people who lost their lives. I called the school to verify that there was no political anything because I've seen how students can be just useful idiots, and they assured me that this is not, they don't want anything political. It's just in memory and to show respect and to have silence. they're singing Kumbaya and...
Oh, my gosh.
I forget this.
literally Kumbaya. Singing Kumbaya.
But still, that's a fine way to deal with
and,
it, right?
You know, like, and there's probably some teachers who are, like, trying to get these kids quiet for 17 minutes is... I mean, if they'll stand quietly, I'm going to go take a nap in the teacher's room. Thank God they're quiet.
Look, obviously, it's great to show, you know,
respect.
Respect, and that's, you know, yeah. That's real, and it's got nothing to do with politics. Yeah. And that's a much better way of doing it than letting the kids walk out.
Right. Let me go to... Go ahead.
We asked him at the dinner table last night, what is this for? And all he could say is it was about the shooting in Parkland and the kids that died. So he didn't know the whole realm of what could be involved in a walk-in or a walk-out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that he understood what it was about if he was going to participate, not just follow blindly.
Right.
And they really did say it's just to show respect. It's not a protest in any way, and they would not allow it to be a protest.
Okay. Well, I'd be anxious to hear if that's what the promises kept there on that one. Thanks, Kim. I appreciate it. So you don't want your kids, let's say, you know, walking around, you know, just being a useful idiot. Like I'm watching on TV in New York a sign that says the NRA KKK. You know,
and then USA, by the way.
And then USA.
Yeah. Don't forget that they're calling the entire country a group of KKK members.
So that's great. I'd be so proud. Tim in Connecticut. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Bitline. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Seemed to be professionally printed,
good,
that
good.
Sign, too. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
A student, I guess they just went to the local...
Kinko's.
Kinko's? Okay,
yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm here in Newtown, and the kids, it's cold for them to protest outside, so they're doing it in the gym protest. They're walking in. Instead of walking out, you know, kids in Connecticut are brave. Yeah, they really want to show their, you know, what they really stand for, what they really believe in. So instead of walking out of school or staying home from school, we go to the gym because we got a snowstorm last night, you know?
So. Right.
Well, I mean, look, again, I think, honestly, like, they're talking about school safety. If you have kids go out in freezing cold temperatures, it's probably not a good idea.
If you have kids leave the school
right?
premises... Even in Florida or Africa, it's not good for safety.
It's also true that being in school is still one of the safest places your child can be. Yes,
no,
statistically,
not true.
That is
no,
accurate.
It's not
I mean,
true.
That doesn't mean we don't protect them. That doesn't mean we don't add security to schools. We don't try to address these specific threats. But like
Listen
doing absolutely
did
nothing
you,
from where we are, still,
did you
it's one of the safest places.
Did
they
you
can
see
be.
All the number of shoes that were put on the Capitol steps yesterday?
Shoes?
You didn't see this?
I did not see anything. I did not see a shoe related.
There were 7,000 shoes that were dropped on the Capitol lawn yesterday. 7,000
shoes.
Shoes, children's shoes. Okay, of all the 7,000 children that are not here. Now I'd like to go drop the 60 million baby shoes on the front lawn of Planned Parenthood.
Babies largely don't wear shoes, though. I mean, really.
Baby socks?
Baby socks.
Baby socks.
Be more effective.
I'd like to.
Be more effective.
Like, well, it may not be more effective, but it'd be more realistic. Baby socks.
I mean, that's a lot of socks.
It's a lot of socks. And that's why I haven't done it yet today.
It's an expensive protest.
Yeah, well, because, you know, you can. All kids. You say to him, hey, let's put 7,000, you know, kids' shoes on the lawn of the Capitol building. And, of course, the kids organize that like that. You know what I mean? There's no adults involved.
Oh, no.
There's no special interest involved in that. That's just all kid power right there. 7,000 all spread out on the lawn. That's the mind of a 14-year-old and the organizing power of 14-year-olds all across the country. But 60 million baby shoes. That might take a little while, and an adult.
Now, is it true that to organize a protest to honor the kids who have been killed in these attacks, do you have to be on the side of Louis Farrakhan and dislike Jews? Is that something that, because it seems like all of these are done by the Women's March people who are very tied, closely tied to Louis Farrakhan.
No.
And I don't, feel like the dislike of Jews really has nothing to do with gun violence or honoring children.
Just because you're talking about the 2, 3, 6, or 7 people that are on the board of directors that are with Louis Farrakhan at his latest conference, sat there while he said those horrible things about white people's time is coming.
And Jews are the enemy?
And Jews are the enemy, mm-hmm. and they will all be wiped out. Just because they sat through that and then had photos taken afterwards with Louis Farrakhan, that doesn't mean that.
It doesn't? It doesn't mean that? Because it seems like it would mean that for anyone else. It seems like, I don't know, if you had a Tea Party organizer who sat through speech after speech about how bad Jews are or how bad blacks are. In fact, you've made comparisons on the air to the Holocaust, saying we got to make sure this doesn't happen again. It looks like it's happening in Iran. And the ADL comes out and criticizes you for it. Now, the ADL has been critical of Farrakhan as well. But it doesn't seem to get any pickup outside of Jake Tapper. He's the only person in the mainstream media who seems to be noticing this and putting any pressure on Democrats who are still, to this day, meeting with Farrakhan.
Well, what's good about this, Stu, is that Twitter's all over Farrakhan. He's never been allowed to have a Twitter feed.
He still has one.
No, because they stop hate.
He tweets things about the Jews all the time.
No.
Seems to be one of his topics.
No.
It's trending on Lewis's little feed there.
Huh.
Not a fan of Jews. A supporter.
You know what? Twitter was on the walkout. That's what happened. As soon as they get back in, they're going to take care of Louis Farrakhan's Twitter feed. Let me go to Julie in North Carolina. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Glenn and Stu. I want to say I'm very proud of my children. For not walking out, my son's number one in his senior class, and some of his AP professors gave them extra credit for actually staying in class and learning. They said they could do more for the children in Florida by showing them how safe it is in school, statistically.
Shut up. Wow. Wait a minute. Hold it just a second. A teacher is giving America, we may have slipped through another wormhole. a teacher is giving extra credit for staying in class.
Yeah, because he said just the trend, not going against the trend and actually sitting in for what you believe, which is the Second Amendment. And this is his AP European History class professor. He gave them all extra credit for those who wanted to stay in and just didn't walk out.
Oh, my gosh. Julie,
that's awesome.
That's awesome. I'm moving to North Carolina. Thank you so much. Let me go to Beth in Texas.
Hey, Glenn.
How you doing?
I was telling your screener that when my son was much younger and the Connecticut shooting had just taken place, I had to explain. We were talking. We're very close. I said, tell me, son, that brave principal that threw herself in front of all those kids, how many people do you think would have passed away had she had a firearm? And he held up his hand in a big zero. He's now 15 years old, and it's like to him – We're constantly talking about the gun-free zones. He thinks that the whole thing is just off the charts, nuts. He understands. It's like he just has a complete inherent understanding that that's what's causing all this. We have firearms in the home, and he's just always been taught to be respectful of them. And,
you know, Beth, I have to tell you, I just said to the last person, I'm moving to North Carolina, and then you call up, and I realize, oh, yeah, that's why I live in Texas. Thank you so much. God bless you and your son.
Aren't you glad you live in America? I mean, what a great place it is. You've got capitalism that's given us really an incredible bounty. You have the American dream. You get the family and you buy a home with a white picket fence. It's the thing that everyone talks about wanting their whole life. Well, buying the home with the money that you've made from capitalism is a great thing, and it's a great thing you can do in America, but you better make sure you do it right. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is a great place to start when you're getting ready to buy a home or if you're looking to sell for the most money. This is the biggest investment you'll have in your entire life, and you have to make sure the person that you're dealing with is attentive, that they share your values, that they are on top of everything, and that's what RealEstateAgentsITrust.com does. They screen through everybody and give you the best agent in your area. There's a network of over 1,200 agents on realestateagentsitrust.com. If you need to sell a house fast and for the most money, or if you're looking to buy, go to realestateagentsitrust.com, realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
I'm a little humbled right now by the bravery of so many people. In case you don't know, Viacom, you know, MTV and all of Viacom, they have decided that they are going to shut down next hour in solidarity with the school walkouts. They're going to, all of their stations going dark for 17 minutes.
Powerful.
It is. It is really powerful. That's so brave of them to, I mean, to go dark for 17 minutes. Hey, Stu, by the way, before I forget, I've got a question about tonight's TV show. The when is the first commercial break usually on TV?
About 17 minutes after the hour goes.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyway, Viacom, so brave of you.
Oh my gosh.
To break. You know, you're not going to lose any money because you can make it back in time for that first commercial break. But wow.
Well, and it's the important thing is I know MTV too. They will be returning right after the 17 minutes of silence to honor the children, the high school children they're talking about, with the program 16 and Pregnant. Which is going
to
really...
Which would sound like a joke to some.
To the cynics.
But it's not.
But you can flip over to MTV instead and get Catfish, the TV show, which is great.
Not the first 17 minutes.
Not the first... No,
but right after the first commercial
break. Well, you have 17 minutes, then the commercial break.
Right.
They'll rejoin the previously scheduled program, either 16 and Pregnant or Catfish.
Oh, man, that's brave of them.
I agree. And I just hope, Glenn... that we can get through today with these students walking out. And I just hope they are not thinking or praying while
they're
walking
not.
Out.
No, they're not.
Okay, no thinking
no,
or
no
praying
thinking.
Going on?
There's no thoughts, no prayers
okay,
happening.
Okay, good, good.
Because that's useless.
Useless. That's thinking useless. And praying is
yeah,
useless.
It's useless. And Viacom, oh man, brave, brave.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.